Well, folks, good morning again. And Brother Mark, it was not intentional, but I failed to say it. We're glad to have you back as well. We missed you while you were gone. It's good to have everybody with us. And again, I want to ask that you pray for us as we go through the remaining part of the service. Folks, I need to ask questions right off the bat. Are you thankful to be here? If we are, then as we just did, let's say amen. It's by God's amazing grace that we are here. I pray and I trust and pray that you all had a wonderful Christmas. Now, Christmas has come and gone, so I want to use this opportunity as we're facing a new year, not to go there just yet, but to, I guess, follow up on the Christmas story that we had. And if you took one theme from the message last Sunday about all of us being shepherds, but unworthy, unjust, not good enough shepherds, I hope you recognize how marvelous God's grace is. And I want to just ask you, have you considered that since last time we met? Have you thought about God's amazing grace in the gift of Jesus Christ, which is what Christmas is all about? So I want to start out this morning, and our message will be that the Lord leads us. No matter what phase we are, what station in our life, wherever we may be found, the Lord leads His people. And I can tell you that pathway that He will lead you will be a lot easier when you are listening to the Lord, when you are praying to the Lord, and when you are seeking the Lord. But either way, it is the Lord who is in charge of your life. Sometimes we think that we are, but that's not the case, folks. The Lord will lead His people. So, to continue from where we stopped last time, I just want to reread some of the passages from the Christmas story taken in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, since Christmas, has this passage, has these words, has this thought crossed your mind? I can't answer that. Only you know if it has or if it has not. Did you find any additional peace or joy this Christmas? Let me ask that way. You know, it's so easy to, and we talked about this last Sunday, it is so easy to get caught up into the hectic cycle of the commercialism that Christmas is now seems to be thrust upon every family. And we get turned away from the true meaning of Christmas. But since Christmas came, have you thought about the true Christmas story where Jesus gave His only begotten Son? Has the thought crossed your mind? Has anything changed in your life since just this past weekend when we celebrated Christmas? Or past Wednesday, I should say. Has anything changed? I pray that it has. But if it has not, then folks, I want to encourage you to reassess things, because something should have changed. I want to share a few lyrics with you from a song that Faith Hill sang, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And the title of the song is called "A Baby Changes Everything." And she sang this song, and I only put in the last few verses here. The song's about Mary, and the thought that the position that Mary was in, as she was, a young teenage girl, no ring on her finger, and yet she's betrothed to somebody she's never known, and yet here she is, as the Bible describes, with child. And that's the flow from the Mary's life as it goes on through. And then we come to these stanzas. Shepherds all gathered round, up above a star shines down. Choir of angels say, "Glory to the newborn King." A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. Everything, everything, every day. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And of course, I'm not giving this the due credit that it deserves, not trying to present it in the form of a song. But the words should be impactful in this very last stanza. My whole life has turned around. I was lost, but now I'm found. A baby changes everything. You see, Jesus Christ came and He changed everything. A baby changes everything. That baby that was born a Savior, the thought of that should be changing your life. It should be making you look inward and say, what are the most important things in my life? And it should be Jesus Christ. And it should be in this world that is so far removed from anything godly anymore. It should be about doing everything you can to approach God, to draw close to God, to seek God. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will diligently find me. You know, regardless of the chaos of the world, or I should say the chaos that sometimes comes into our life, we can still find God when we seek Him and we pray. And if we are listening, God is always there. He's promised us that. And folks, when we think about the simple statement that the angels gave to the shepherds, and just like me and you, us undeserving shepherds, that there was hope because a Savior was born. And why was the Savior born? Because God loves His children. He loves me and you and all of us that don't deserve His mercy and grace. Well, all those who are called by His name, Jesus came to save us from our sins. And folks, God will lead you. For a child of God, all pathways lead to Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about your life. And this should be a message of hope as we go through it, and encouragement. I want to try to focus on God leading you in your life. And then take that focus and examine how He led all the events to after Jesus was born even. We know that He controlled all of the things up until when Jesus was born. How He led Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth. So let's look and examine what happened next after Christmas. Lord willing, what can happen for me and you as we approach this new year? Again, I want to read Luke 2:10-11. And I want you to let these words be the focus of your thoughts for the next moment. Luke 2:10-11. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. And I love that one statement because I've said it now for, I think, 4 weeks in a row. 365 times, do not fear or do not be afraid is found in the Bible. So there's one for each day and there is one for this day. We have nothing to fear because of Christ. And the angels is telling these shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So now we've talked about this, now let's move on to what happened afterwards. In the Gospel of Matthew, turn with me if you like in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. And we find something here, it's a familiar old story. We find the wise men. So let's read this, and we're going to read, and then we're going to stop and go back, and I want to look closer at some of the things that I feel like we either take for granted or overlook that's contained in this part of the message of Christmas. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And when he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Now, folks, we're going to stop here. That's kind of a lengthy reading, but now we're going to go back and examine some of the things in this part of the Christmas story. So I pray, God bless the reading of His Word, and pray now that we can uncover some things here, because I feel they are important to us, and they're important to you in your individual life, from the perspective that God leads us. God holds us all in His hands, folks. How sad it is that we forget that. How sad it is. So now let's go back up. First comment I'm going to read a couple passages and then we'll make some observations. So let's start over in verses 1 through 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So I want you to think about this now. Wise men from the east. The Bible does not tell us how many wise men there were here. We oftentimes think there were three. But it says wise men from the east. So I just want you to get a picture in your mind where Israel is. If you think about the map, wise men from the east, most scholars agree with this, are talking about people, wise men, from what is now modern day Iran, Persia, and Babylon, which was then called Babylon, which is now Iraq. So these wise men are 800 and 900 miles away. Okay, how did they know anything about this? Well, they're called wise men. But we also need to think about that they probably had influence in their lives. We seem to think about the Word of God as just confined into such a small little circle. It's not. You see, these wise men probably had influence from the teachings when Daniel was in Persia. If you remember the story of Daniel, he was taken captive. He served under three kings. And he wrote, he was buried his tomb was in modern-day Persia or modern-day northern Iran. Daniel had a great influence on the kings of both the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire. So his teachings would have been taught and brought forward all these generations. In Babylon, when Israel was brought captive into, again, Babylon is modern-day Iraq, the prophets were there. Their teachings would have filtered out into the people too. The point is, even in these times of adversity that Daniel and all the Israel captives endured when they were in captivity, God's word went forth. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we might be experiencing a difficult time for the benefit of somebody else. But folks, you know what? You have to understand that God leads us. And even if it leads us into difficult circumstances, that God is in control. And it should never diminish our faith. And we need to be speaking out and sharing our faith, especially in those hard times. So, as we think about the wise men coming from the east, and wherever the influences came from, that they knew to look for this star, there's two facts that are unmistakable. They were not Jewish, yet they believed and followed God. See, they weren't part of the Jewish family. They were like me and like you. They were considered Gentiles. And yet here they are obeying God and following Him. If we go back up to that first passage that we were reading, saying, "And unto you is born a Savior who will be for all people." You see, it suddenly extends beyond the confines that the Jewish people wanted to say it only applied to me. Only we are the chosen people. And that's not what God's grace is all about. God's grace goes to all people all over this world who are His children. And folks, there is no boundary lines for where God's people will be found. These people followed the star 800 or 900 miles to come and worship Jesus. And I want you to notice something else. In verse 2, they said, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." You know, they called him King of the Jews. Later, that inscription would be over the cross when Jesus was crucified. Yet these people knew he was King of the Jews. See, God had given them understanding. God had opened their hearts to his word. Did you notice that they didn't call it the Bethlehem star? They called it his star. That to me is an important distinction. It was Jesus, the star of Jesus, recognizing his birth. They didn't call it some great celestial event. They didn't attribute anything other than his star. We have seen his star. They recognized the signs, folks. I believe that these people were deep into the scriptures from what they had of it. And I believe that God also opened their heart and was leading them. And they had come to worship him. They have followed his star. They had come to worship, again, him who would be a blessing for all people. So let me ask you, again, think about your life. If the birth of Jesus could impact these people to such a great degree that these wise men would come all this distance to come and worship him, what effect has a Christmas story had on your life? Since just 3 days ago, has the passage crossed your mind that unto you, and I'm putting me in this boat too, all of us undeserving people, a Savior has born? Well, folks, if it has not, you're missing the point of Christmas. Because God loves us, and he knew our pitiful condition, and he sent his only begotten Son because, folks, we needed a Savior. He needed a Savior. And, folks, we haven't been freed from the bondage of sin to live like those in the world. We are supposed to live differently. Only you can answer that question. Has your life changed since the Christmas story? Now let's continue on, because this is important. Beginning in verse 3 through 6, when Herod the king heard this, and let me just clarify this again, the wise men were guided from 800 or 900 miles away, and they have come to Jerusalem, the capital, what should be the holy city. It guided them there, and they've come, and they're asking the question, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" And now in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And you might stop and ask, well, why didn't he know that the Christ was born? Well, he wasn't a godly person. If anything, we can gently and politely call him an evil person. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Well, that upset Herod. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So have you ever considered that? Why was all of Jerusalem upset? You see, Jesus came A new king was the news. And it troubled the people because it was going to upset the status quo. If you remember the what we've talked about now for over a year and what Brother Jim has preached, what Brother Pat has preached, the society that the Jewish people were living in at that time had become so difficult under the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But yet they had their hierarchy and they had their ways of doing things, and they didn't want anything disrupted. Well, now here came the news of a newborn king. And Herod was troubled because he knew that that meant that it wasn't him. You know, one of the focuses from last Sunday's message was, it's not about you. Well, Herod would have done himself a favor had he heeded those words. It was not about him. It was about Christ who had come, our Savior. But it's troubling to think about, why was all of Jerusalem troubled? As Brother Merritt prayed in his prayer, we pray that God's word would become more prominent in our society again. Because I think if the news came right now that Jesus was about to appear, that most of America would be troubled too. There is a portion that would be rejoicing, but too many would be troubled because it would upset the status quo. And folks, that brings us to two distinctions. When you hear the word of Jesus Christ, it falls upon two types of people. Those who love the Lord Jesus and follow Him, and those who do not. Those who love the Lord will rejoice at the announcement of the birth of a Savior. And those people are the people who want God to lead their lives. Is the Lord? Are you following the Lord? Let me ask you that way. Could you say, as a new year approaches and you start thinking about a new year, Lord willing, we will all see it and wonderful things will be held for us in the new year. But who are you following into that new year? Can you say that the Lord is your shepherd? You know, this does parallel to some degree the 23rd Psalm. The Lord leads His people. The Lord was leading the shepherds in last week's message. The Lord has been leading these wise men up till now. You see, the wise men followed the star that led them to Jesus. Who are you following? If you're only fixated and focused on the world, then folks, you're just running in circles. You're not following anybody. And if you're not following anybody, you're not following the Lord. So you need to change your life. You need to look to God. And again, I will say, for the child of God, all pathways lead to Jesus Christ. Now, how willingly you listen to the Lord may determine how difficult a path that you have in front of you. But Jesus said in the Gospel of John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And again, to me, how beautiful that is because of the passage from Luke. For unto you is born a Savior who will be for all people, for all of us. And let's continue reading. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men and determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word to me that I may come and worship him also. Well, if we stop right there for just a moment, we know that's not true. No, he wanted to come find Jesus to destroy him. But yet he's trying to deceive the wise men. When they heard the king, the wise men that is, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I want to stop right there without even reading verse 12. I want you to notice some things. The star that they had followed from the east to Jerusalem now led them to Bethlehem. So there again, God is leading. Are you looking for the Lord to lead you in your life? God was leading them. And when they saw where the star had stopped and they came to the place, it says that they rejoiced with great joy because the star had stopped over where Jesus was. They knew that they had found Him. Folks, do you rejoice over the knowledge that you have that you can believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? If you're rejoicing, shouldn't that be the main focus of your life? Jesus Christ? These wise men rejoiced. And now I want you to notice something too that sometimes I believe slips past us. It says in verse 10, "And when they had come into the house..." You see, you notice now that Mary and Joseph were living in a house. They weren't in a stable anymore. See, time had passed. We don't know exactly how much time, but Jesus had to be circumcised after 8 days, and Mary had to go through the purification rites. So a couple of months, that minimum, have passed. And now they've moved into a home. And if we tie this in with other things we find in the Bible, Jesus could be 2 years old or so here. The Bible doesn't clarify, and it's not all that, I think, something that we need to focus on. It doesn't matter. To me, it even brings to a greater understanding the wise men came because Jesus was born. The Lord led them there. And who were these men? They were prominent men, men of respect from their countries. They appeared to be very wealthy men. And yet they came and they humbled themselves. Because no matter how great of capacity that they had in their own country, no matter how affluent they were, no matter if they were princes and kings themselves, they bowed down before the Lord, as should you and as should I. And it says in verse 11, "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And again, I want to point out, the Bible doesn't specify exactly how many wise men there were. But if you think about that trip from 800, 900 miles away, and the fact that these were prominent men, they probably had a supporting staff, why don't we put it that way, that came with them, that cooked for them along the way, that helped to wash the clothes, that helped provide for the needs that what a caravan would have required to come that length of distance. Maybe they weren't accompanied by anybody else. But I think they had to be because they had precious cargo and they had to survive the trip, which would have been a dangerous trip with thieves and robbers along the way. The Bible doesn't give those details, but that was a fact of life back then. They came 800 or 900 miles because God had put it in their heart and God led them. Sometimes we complain about our little drive to church. But folks, God has led us here. And by His amazing grace, all these many years we have been blessed to come and worship Him. Would you go 800 or 900 miles because God led you to a place to find Jesus Christ? I like to think that there is nothing that you wouldn't do to find Jesus. Perhaps you're on a pathway that will lead you there or bring you back closer to Him. I don't know. But no matter the trip, it's worth it for whoever it may be. So they presented these gifts. And again, this may have been a lot of stuff. But the first one that's mentioned is gold. Now, we don't find this necessarily said in the Bible, but most biblical scholars will say gold was a symbol of divinity. And of course, gold is mentioned throughout the Bible. The Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with gold. The temple had uncountable amounts of gold when Solomon had first built the temple. And the gift of gold is symbolic of Jesus' divinity. God, Emmanuel, is with us. God in the flesh. Because, folks, God is gold is pure. It is a pure metal. It is one of the few metals that the body does not reject. And it has been used for ever since any type of surgeries have ever been done. It used to be gold fillings in people's teeth. It used to be gold other places where body would be, where gold would be put into people when they had surgery thousands of years ago. Skeletons have been dug up that had gold plates in people that had head injuries. All types of things where gold has been used. But it is symbolic because it's pure. And it represents the highest level that could be found in preciousness, in worth. And it was given as a gift. Gold was then and still is today a precious metal. And just like then, it still today is a form of currency. And you know, the Bible doesn't say this. It doesn't give an amount of how much gold was given. But I have a tendency, it's a lot more than we sometimes think, just a small little chest of gold. This could very well have been what financed the trip that Mary and Joseph would embark on to go down into Egypt. The Bible doesn't say that, but I think you can gather from it. It's a logical conclusion to draw. And with the gold, the gift of frankincense was given. Now, you probably know this, but frankincense is a white resin or a gum. And it comes from a tree. You take it from the tree just like most other syrups are taken, by incisions in the bark and allowing the gum to flow out of it. And it's indigenous to those areas, all the way out into Persia and into Egypt and into Babylon and into Syria. And it's highly fragrant when it's burned. And as you probably all know, it was used in worship. It was burned as a pleasant offering to God. And it's specifically mentioned in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34. Because it was so fragrant and it smelled so good. You know, there's how many of us believe in or are aware of aromatherapy? I think there's something to aromatherapy. You know, if nothing else, it's a mood enhancer. When something smells really good, you enjoy it. Like a pleasing savor, the Bible says. And here, again, I'm sharing with you some of the things that my research I've drawn from conclusions from other people doing research and reading about this. Frankincense is symbolic of holiness and righteousness. It's symbolic of Jesus' willingness to become a sacrifice, wholly giving himself, just like a burnt offering that would arise to the Lord. Frankincense is symbolic in lots of things. It was pleasing. How many times in the Bible did the Lord say that their offering was pleasing to him? Jesus Christ, his offering was pleasing to the Lord, and that never forget that offering was for me and for you. And then they also brought with them the gift of myrrh. Myrrh, just like frankincense, is taken from trees that are found throughout that area, Arabia. Taken the same way by cutting the tree and letting the sap flow out. But myrrh is different. It was a spice, and it was also used in the embalming process. It was also mixed with wine to form an antiseptic-type drink or a numbing drink called gall, that would later be offered to Jesus on the cross that he refused. You see, myrrh symbolizes bitterness and suffering and affliction. And you know the story just as well as I do. Later, Jesus would suffer greatly because he willfully sacrificed himself for me and you and for the sins of all of God's people. And never forget, folks, it was a willful sacrifice. So when you lump all these together, and the symbolism that is brought with each gift, how did the wise men know to bring these gifts? It's because God led them. God instructed them. God put it in their hearts. And folks, it's just another example of how God leads his people. The wise men were instructed by God. And it says that they were exceedingly joyful and fell down and worshipped him. Now, verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And what I want you to recognize here, they were divinely warned. Again, God speaks to his people. Are you listening? God leads his people. Are you following? The wise men here obeyed God. They did not obey man. They did not obey Herod and go back and report to Herod. No, they went another way because of God's word. Now, you face a choice. I face a choice. Every day the Lord gives us, we face a choice. Who will you follow? Are you following the way the Lord leads you? As it says in the 23rd Psalm, in pathways of righteousness. You see, the Lord will lead us in pathways of righteousness when we follow him. Are you following? Now, we talked about the wise men being led. Verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother. Flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. There again, we see God talking to his people, talking to Mary and Joseph. And you know, the more you read about the history of this, and I don't know that how accurate this is, but there's a bracket for Mary. Some people think she could have been as young as 13, up to the age maybe of 16 or possibly 17. And Joseph overlaps there. She was older than Mary, so his age is anywhere between 16 up to 21. Now, we don't know, and I guess the only important part of that is how young they were and what a great responsibility they were. So no matter what our responsibilities are, at whatever age we are, we can shoulder those responsibilities when we follow God. And Mary and Joseph were obedient again, and they followed. So in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. All of this, folks, taking place after Christmas. You see, some people want to tell you, well, okay, Jesus came and you don't have to do anything. Well, I'm going to tell you that's not true. As a child of God, we need to be following God. Yes, we have a Savior. But if you don't love that Savior that was born, you're no different from anybody else out in the world who doesn't care, that dismisses the Christmas story. Folks, I know that you're not that way, but I use that term to reference most other people. For the people that don't know God, it's just a story. That's all it is. But for those who believe, for unto you was born in the city of David a Savior. And folks, with that should come great joy. I've asked you now for several times, has anything changed in your life since Christmas just a couple of days ago? I pray that it has. I pray that you've thought about again. As we all exchange gifts and receive things, how they pale in comparison to the gift of Jesus Christ. You know, we give gifts to each other symbolically because we love one another. And as the wise men brought gifts, we give gifts to celebrate Christmas. And folks, that's a good thing. But when those gifts take more importance and prominence in your life than the giver of the most precious gift that's ever been given of Jesus Christ, and that giver being God the Father, if the commercialism of Christmas is more important to you than God, then there's a problem. And we need to reassess our life. Because the story of Christmas is about God loving and saving his people. And folks, that's what needs to be celebrated. And that is what needs to be the focal point of your life. As Brother Jim told me and reminded me, Lord willing that we are blessed to see the new year that's fast approaching. So my question for you is, who will you follow into that new year? Can you say that the Lord is my shepherd? I pray that you can. I pray that it is the Lord who you will follow. And I pray that you will think about this wonderful gift of Jesus Christ in this holiday season. Because, folks, He is the Savior that came for you. You have that gift of faith in your heart. Now be obedient, just like Mary and Joseph were, just like the wise men were, and follow Him. May the Lord add His blessings, is my prayer for us all. Brother Mark.